Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
And we're back. We're here with Ryan Donahue, Sales Development Manager at VendMinder, veteran sales leader, built six teams, six sales dev teams in 6 years, and is currently the GM of the Denver Enterprise Sales Meetup. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Let's dive in. So tell me about what's the one thing that that you do that you feel has made the biggest contribution to your success as a sales leader?
Yeah, so I feel like that's kind of a combination of two different things. And the biggest thing I started doing was trying to gather as much information as I could. So learn as much as I could about what I was involved with. So when it was inside sales, I was trying to learn about inside sales and how do inside sales people who are successful do it. When I started running SDR teams and building SDR teams, it was who's built SDR teams? How did they do it? Reading as much as I could about them. And, you know, trying to gather as much information. LinkedIn is a great source. You know, I get a lot of information from LinkedIn. I see a lot of good stuff on Twitter. And as a result of that, of the social networks, I started reaching out to people who had done it before me or who I was reading their stuff from and asking them, hey, can I learn a little bit about what you did? You know, for instance, when I took over the sales development team at one of my companies, when I first started managing a sales development team, I hit up Ken Krogh on LinkedIn and I said, hey, man, really love your stuff. I love the posts you put out on Forbes and all that. And I'm building an SDR team or taking one over. And I know you guys have built a powerhouse over there at InsideSales.com. Would you mind if you could spare a couple hours, you tell me when and where. I'd love to pick your brain. And he was like, why don't you come to our office and spend the day? So I got to go spend the day at InsideSales.com and sit with their VP of business development, their, you know, head of inside sales. It was really cool. So, the second piece to that question is number one, learning, but also networking and actually building up a network around me of very successful sales leaders and understanding what they do and taking little bits and pieces from them and applying it to what I'm doing at whatever position I'm in. So
awesome. Yeah. Diving in on that learning piece, because we've all read the book. I mean, Aaron wrote the book. So, can you share a couple of things that you've learned with the audience, you know, since Predictable Revenue, some things that you've tried with your team that have, you know, maybe worked or haven't worked?
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean, look, it's funny because, you know, I read Predictable Revenue a couple of years before I even got to meet you, Aaron. Yeah, I think yep. I've talked about this. And, you know, you try to implement what's in the book. And, you know, you read the book, and I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but when I read the book, I was like, man, this is like step by step what you got to do. This should be no problem. And you start trying to implement that. And man, I'll tell you, the devil's in the details. It's exactly what you guys told me when we first talked. You were like, the devil's in the details. And I was like, yeah, you're freaking right. It's hard. To get it to work and be that fine-tuned machine, if you miss those minor details, it can throw a big wrench into the problem. It's like not putting the oil in an engine after you've got it all put together and you go to start it and it seizes and it ruins everything, you know? So,
what kind of detail? Like,
hiring
the wrong kind of person, for example.
Well, hiring the wrong kind of person can definitely hurt you. I don't think it matters where you are, but some of the details that I figured out were like one of the biggest ones that I've dealt with recently is when you build out this process and you've got it actually going along pretty good. You know, you're seeing the conversion rates that you want from your team. You're seeing the conversion rates around response rates, call connects, things like that. And they're actually working their way through the process. So, you know, our process is my rep's goal is to set up an Are We a Fit call, a qualifying call, and then qualify the contact and move them to a discovery Venn demo. And when you don't have a process on the other side that coincides with that, like, okay, when is the opportunity created? What's the criteria for an opportunity to be created? Because that all ties as well to certain other areas in the sales development world. So for instance, my reps, they're comped on opportunities created. And if we don't have a specific criteria around when an opportunity should be created, well, I can't really tell them when they're going to get that commission. Mm-hmm. So gotta have other pieces in the puzzle mapped out and followed to really make the whole thing kind of meld together. That's just one thing it's top of mind because that's what I've been going through recently. But you know, there's lots of other details around, how do you? Yeah, it's easy to just say, here's a script. Okay, here's a script. I want you to learn this. I want you to do this. This is the flow. This is how you want it to go. But there are still people who will just take a script and they may not sound scripted, but they'll enunciate words in the wrong place, right? and it's like, and why would you do that? But as a leader, you're thinking, well, everybody should know that. You know, it's not something
to be obvious,
right? It's not something that you think you should have to work on or train on, but it really is. And if you don't catch that as a leader early on, because you're not listening, because you got 10 other reps that you're trying to help and you're building these processes and you're doing all this other stuff and tracking and all that, and you're not listening enough to your reps, you could have one rep who's been doing that for a month and burned through 3,000 contacts, and you're like, shoot, I didn't catch this before. And you're set back a month, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. You mentioned sort of a great point. I mean, I think I probably made that mistake many, many times myself. Yeah. One of the things you mentioned off the top was sort of mapping out your pipeline. For the sake of the audience here, can you walk us through step by step how you guys see your pipeline? What are the steps? What do you like to see convert? You know,
a snapshot of your funnel.
So we call it our waterfall. All right. And so with our waterfall, it starts top of the funnel and works all the way down to close won, close lost. And so the top of our funnel is contact uploads or contact, you know, the first beginning of the workflow or the cadence, whatever you want to call it. So my reps, their goal is to upload 60 net new contacts per day to begin a workflow on or begin a cadence on or whatever, a sequence, whatever you want to call it. And so it starts right there with tracking how many they're actually uploading every day. Then it goes, and depending on the workflow or the cadence, their first step is either a call or an email. And so we start tracking that first step down. So, you know, how many emails were sent, how many replies were received, how many calls were made, how many call connects, what's that ratio? And we track it from there. Out of the emails that were replied to, how many RWAFIC calls were set from that? Out of the calls that we made and the connects that happened, how many of those converted to an RWAFIC call? And then, you know, it goes RWAFIC call to demo, discovery, then op created. So the way our process works currently, and I things are always subject to change, mm-hmm. But currently the way our process works is the sales rep creates the opportunity after the demo. If they feel like it's an opportunity, and they're going to continue to work that. Okay. So, and then from there on, it's, you know, sales, they track what they want. And then, you know, I obviously track things like, closed won, closed lost, what's our closing percentage from demo executed, what's our closing percentage from AWOF executed, you know, that kind of stuff. So I hope that kind of helps frame that for you.
Yeah, it definitely helps. So top of the funnel, you're adding in new contacts. Then yep. they're running your playbook, right? And their goal is, you know, their email and phone and maybe some social activity. Next step there is what? They're basically setting up the AWAF calls?
Correct.
And who's running those AWAF calls?
So yeah, so the SDRs are running those AWAF calls. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. RWAFIC calls.
Are we
do you have a goal for how many they're supposed to set up per week or month?
Yeah. So we have our goals around, are we a fit calls are 10, mm-hmm. 10 per week. Sorry. Let me rephrase that. 10 a month. That wouldn't be that much. Unless you're enterprise.
Depends on the market. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, unless you're enterprise.
I got some clients who'd love 10 a month.
Right. Don't call me. No, I'm just kidding. So it's 10 a week, 2 a day. What I really, really keep track of though are the executed. Okay. So what I want to really track are executed meetings. Okay. Because quite frankly, my reps, you know, you could have a rep and I learned this too, you know, early on because all we used to track was meetings booked. All right. So,
completed or executed.
Correct. Meetings executed. And I hear this a lot. I mean, I was actually just reading a post, a really good post, really great post by an SDR leader who was like talking about how they changed things, you know, in the fourth quarter or the third quarter from the way it was previously done. And he said, this is what we track. And we track meetings booked and we converted our meetings booked to this and that. And I'm like, okay, cool. What I learned early on was when I was tracking just meetings booked, I would get a rep who I thought was awesome. They booked 30 meetings and I was like, man, that rep kicks butt. But they'd only have like maybe 4 or 5 opportunities created a month from their activity. And so I'm thinking to myself, what's going on, man? Is it the sales team? Are they horrible? What's really going on? So when I go back, And I start talking to him. I'm like, well, how come you only got 5 ops? And he's like, well, you know, out of 10 calls, that's 50%. And I'm like, what do you mean out of 10 calls? And he's like, well, you know, I had 10 meetings that ran. I said, well, what happened to the other 20? You set up 30. And he said, well, they canceled or they, you know, they were being rescheduled or whatever. And I'm like,
yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, so... So let's look at this then. So then I started looking at the whole team. And what I realized is that we were actually at a 40% execution rate from meetings booked to meetings held, meetings executed. And so I was like, shit, that's a huge problem. So what we did is, and I don't know if you want me to talk about how we kind of addressed that, but
let's do it.
Cool. So what I did is I said, okay, let's figure this out. All right. Cause we got to drive that execution rate up because obviously the more people we talk to, law of averages, you know, it's just going to turn into more ops. So what I did is I started listening to my reps and listening to how they were actually booking these meetings. Okay. And what was going on.
Remember, were most being booked over the phone, over email, or like 50-50, 80-20, one way or the other?
So at the company I was at, that I'm referring to right now, this was at Agility. So we were mainly phone. It was just strictly phone at that point. All right. And so it was all through phone really. And so that's why I started listening to their calls and actually getting in a room with them because we weren't recording calls or anything like that at that time either. So I would get in a room with them and listen to them booking these appointments. And what I realized is they were, when they got somebody to say, yeah, let's set up appointment, they'd be like, all right, great. We'll talk Tuesday at 2 and I'll give you a call then. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye. And they're just like, I got to get off the phone. I got to, yes. Yes. They're like, oh my God. So I started thinking about, you know, I had that problem actually, that exact same problem when I was an inside sales rep and I did my own prospecting and hunting, taking it all the way through the cycle. And what I learned really, really early on was, number one, you got to send out an invite. It's got to be a meeting. It's got to be on a calendar. I mean, everybody does that nowadays. But number two was, how are you structuring that invite that's going to come out to that person? How are you letting them know? And what are you asking them to do? Because if you're asking them to accept the meeting, great, okay, they said yes to doing the meeting. But then what are you doing with that? And so what I started training my reps to do is, hey, look, when they say yes, you say, okay, great, I'm looking forward to it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot you an Outlook invite for our calendars or a Gmail invite for our calendars. Because I got to tell you, if I didn't have it on my calendar, I would forget what I'm doing tomorrow because I live and die by my calendar. So could you make sure to hit accept when that comes in? And what I would try to do is actually send it while I was talking to him so that I could say, hey, it should be in your inbox now. Can you check that out and just go ahead and hit accept so I know you got it? And then we'll talk from there, okay? And so what I did with my reps is I created an incentive the next month. And the incentive was, you know, I forget what the numbers were exactly, but whoever came to me and could show me the most accepted invite emails, because, you know, when somebody accepts your invite, you get an email back saying they accepted it. So whoever could come and show me the most accepted emails from their invites going out won. And I mean, I had reps that were calling people that they had scheduled an appointment with 2 days after they had scheduled that appointment because they hadn't gotten the accept yet. So they were calling them to say, hey, can you go back and hit accept on that invite just real quick? So, you know, it drove our execution rate. We went from 40% to 95% the next quarter.
Wow. That's a huge jump.
Yeah, it was massive. It was great though. I mean, it drove a lot of activity for the team, and it also boosted a lot of confidence. You know, I mean, when you can take conversions from where they were to that, but the team just gets this energy. You know, this like, yeah, we got this. You know, this confidence, and so it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
It kind of goes back to the whole detail thing though too. You know, paying attention to the details.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would have been super, super, super duper impressed at even beyond 95%. If you're able to get 105%, that would have been impressive.
Yeah, if we got some inbound leads that skip the AWOL step,
we booked. Like, whoa,
yeah.
We violated Einstein's principles of relativity.
Right.
Yeah. So that's our AWAS step. So that are we a fit call step? And then next, we've started talking. We were talking before this call, before we hit record here, about this other step that you're thinking about bringing in that you've seen success in with other companies, because your step goes AWAF and the SDR is running it, and then right to a demo, and the SDRs are booking the demos for your account execs, right?
Right.
Right. Right. And we've seen this a lot, but can you elaborate on what are some of the risks that with that system, and what are some of the things that you're thinking about to sort of mitigate those risks?
Yeah, good, really good topic, by the way. And I think a lot of businesses are actually moving to this style, and they should be, rightfully so. It's just how and when do you do it, and how do you actually execute on it properly, which I think is always the biggest conundrum. Yeah. But we run an AWOF call, all right? And so we are asking qualifying questions to essentially qualify the contact and the account to make sure that it is going to be a valid prospect for our sales reps to talk to, but also too, to build that interest and to spark that kind of, yeah, you know what? We could actually use you guys. So that we're passing over people who want to hear more from one of our sales reps. So when we're running that, we're feeding that information to the sales rep prior to their demo call. Now, what the sales rep still has to do before when they get on that demo call is still dig a little bit deeper and do some more discovery on their end to really gather the pain points properly and make sure they've heard it right so that they can address those. Well, what ends up happening is you get a demo call that half of it's done doing more of a discovery call, like a more of an even higher in-depth qualifying call, and then you miss half the time to actually perform the demo. And then if they do run the demo, it's not customized, it's not personalized to meet that prospect's pain points. Which really, if you're creating value for the prospect, you're going to fix their problems, not just preach about how wonderful and great all of the things your company can do. Because guess what? They might actually do some stuff right over there. And the stuff that you provide, they may not need. Let's just face it. They may not need some of your shit. So don't be offended by that. But what you want to do is make sure that you can actually fix the problems they do have. And so what we started doing is actually setting up discovery calls and demos. So what we're saying to the clients at the end of the Are We a Fit call is, hey, you know, thank you for answering those questions. And I love the questions you had for me. Really helps us understand your business a lot better. And just from what I could gather, it seems like you'd be a really good fit for us. And also we'd be a really good fit for you guys. So what I'd love to do is schedule a demo with one of our, financial experts who can actually dig a bit deeper into your environment and really kind of talk to you about what's going on with in regards to your industry. And they say, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And then we say, okay, great. So we schedule the demo and then we go, oh, by the way, that expert would really like to spend maybe just 10, 15 minutes with you before that demonstration so that they can tailor the demonstration to really what matters to you. So do you mind if they give you a call like maybe the day before or 2 days before the demo and just kind of ask you a few more questions? And most of the time they say, yeah, that's not a problem. And so we actually schedule that as well. So we say, okay, well, what day would work best? Is Monday at say 2:00 central? Does that work good for you? And they go, yeah, that sounds great. Okay, we're going to send another invite for that day. It's just going to be a 15-minute invite. And the expert will, I'll be on the call to introduce the expert. And, you guys can go from there. So that's what we've been doing. And I'll tell you, it's working
cool.
Swimmingly. It's going really, really cool. Now, you get what you kind of run into is especially in the sales world where they're like, well, that's too many touches. We're having too many touches for these people and we're having to make them go through this big process. And if somebody's willing to go through that, then they're interested in your service, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And if they're interested in your service, then you've got a real opportunity. And it's almost like trial closing too. If you trial close somebody to that next step and that's just a scheduled call and they say no, well, you probably don't have an opportunity. If they say, send me some stuff and get back to me in 2 weeks, that's basically saying kick rocks. See ya. So
bottom line, is it working better than before?
It is. Yes.
So
it is. The conversion rates are much higher. Yeah.
This could be, I think it's a good sort of master tactic that could be highlighted, which is sometimes you want to do more touches because, everyone, naturally people want to drive towards faster or fewer touches, but, and I've seen this too, sometimes you need to slow down. Sometimes you speed up, but sometimes you need to slow down for the quality.
Well, you're right. And you want to meet the buyer where they're at too. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's not to say if somebody comes to us and says, hey, look, and we're running the Are We a Fit call, the AWOF call, and they say, hey, look, we were interested. We just want to get pricing around this set of services or around your software. Well, guess what? We're going to set up that demo call, and we're going to let the account executive know they want to talk about pricing. Come prepared to talk about pricing. Mm-hmm. So it's meeting, and it's not saying, hey, you have to follow this every single time, and if they don't want to do this, then, they're not a fit for us. Well, that's not necessarily true either. But you're right, Aaron. It is. It comes down to, is it working? And yeah, it's working, man. So
cool, man. So. That's really good to hear. Can we? Do you mind sharing some of the questions that? So we've got the Are We Fit call, we've got a discovery call, and then a demo.
Yeah.
So what type of questions are you like? Can you give us some examples of the questions you're asking on your Are We Fit calls?
Yeah, sure. So let me kind of frame this. So the company I work for is called VendMinder, and what VendMinder does, we're really the leading expert in vendor management services and software for financial institutions primarily right now, because they're the ones who are, they're heavily regulated and audited by the federal government, the NCUA, the FDIC. So they have examiners in their buildings at least once a year. And a part of that due diligence that's done by the examiners is around vendor management. Mm-hmm. And how are they managing their vendors? How are they keeping up with the risk on their vendors? So to really understand all that, it takes a lot of work. And it almost takes, depending on the size of the business, the financial institution, it takes teams of people versus sometimes it's the person who missed the board meeting that week, and guess what? You got vendor management on your plate now. So what we do is we help businesses with vendor management. So when we're running an Are We a Fit call, We asked questions around, hey, are you the person who handles vendor management solely, or are you a part of a team there, a part of a committee? Does IT have a say so in it? Do you guys have a team that then reports up to the board, and the board approves these things, you know, on the third week of the month, like most boards. Really just kind of helping us map out their process, but make sure we're also talking to one of the decision makers, if not a change agent. Okay. Another question we ask is, and this is more of a qualifying question around what type of services we can offer them, but you know, how many critical vendors do you have? Because in the financial industry world, they rate vendors by criticality, high, medium, and low. And examiners really pay attention to those high critical vendors. And so, you know, if they have 20 to 30 critical vendors, well, guess what? They got a lot of work on their hands. And that's where we can come in and relieve some of that workload, and then, you know, actually centralize the workload and report on it, everything through our software, which is really, really cool. The examiners love it. So knowing those types of asking those types of questions and knowing those answers really helps us kind of frame the call a little later on, but also gives so much great information to our account executives if and when it gets to that point.
Cool. Yeah. How long are those calls, your AWAFs there?
Our AWAFs are typically between 10 to 15 minutes. I mean, some of them will go 20 minutes if we got somebody who's really like, hey, yeah, we want to talk about this stuff. But literally, they're typically right in between 10 to 15 minutes on average.
Yeah. Gotcha. What if if someone asks about pricing on that call?
Yeah.
How do you guys handle that?
Great question, Aaron, because here's the thing. A lot of the reps, you know, they always get freaked out at first. They're like, well, what if they ask me this? Well, what if they ask me that? How do I handle that? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a sales rep. And you, Ryan, you told me that I have to separate prospecting from selling. So I can't sell. I got to prospect. And I'm like, yes, you're exactly right. And this is the beautiful thing about AWOL call. When somebody asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, you don't have to. And here's the reason why. Because that means that they're actually interested in learning more. And when they ask something like that, all you got to do is say to them, you know what? That is a really good question for my expert. Is that something you wanted to dig in a little bit deeper about? Because I'd love to set up that time with them. Because, you know, based on my research and the questions I asked you previously, it sounds like we'd be a good fit. And you guys would be a good fit for us. So you just turn it around into a positive. And it's like, man, it really sounds like, you know, you've got some interest here. Let's get you to the right people who can really dig in. I mean, I could tell you, but I wouldn't do it any justice because they'd be able to really dig into the details much better than myself because they deal with folks like you all day long. So it's just training them to not be afraid to take those questions and not actually give the answer and have to know everything because you don't. I mean, I get asked stuff from my boss all the time and sometimes I don't know the answer. So I got to kind of...
Sometimes.
hey, be nice. You've been in my meetings, haven't you? but you know, you gotta figure that way out. But you can't be, you know, can't be afraid to not know the answer either.
So just sort of pulling on that thread, how do you plan out the AMF calls a little bit? Like, here's some of the things that you might encounter, and sort of here's how you can handle that. You guys do that? How do you handle that?
Yeah, so we do a lot of one-on-one training when they first come on board. We do some role playing. We actually created an objections playbook. So we have our SDR playbook that walks through all of our steps, all of our tools. How do you know, if you get this response, what do you do in the system and how do you record that? It walks, I mean, I could literally hand a rep, a new rep, our playbook and say, come back to me in a week and you're going to know how to do your job.
Cool.
Now, I might get the rep who comes back and, you know, says, how are you? And enunciates in the wrong area. But, you know, but they'll know what to say. But now, and at the end of that playbook is our objections playbook. So we write down every question we get that we haven't already heard before. So we've just continuously added to the objections playbook, and we have a quarterly meeting, my SDR team and myself, where we go over the playbook at the quarterly meeting and we say, okay, what do we need to take out? What's not working? What's been used and abused? What do you guys think sucks? Let's take it out. And then what do we need to add? What has been working? What have you guys found out that's really kind of something we need to, you know, shout out from the rooftop? And then as a part of that is what new objections have we heard? And so we practice that objections playbook.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Super valuable.
Yeah. Cool.
One thing that I think I didn't do enough when I was selling was getting that sort of preparation around objection handling.
Yeah. It's tough.
So that's your AWAF call. The next step is discovery call. So if that's what you're covering on the AWAF, they have some questions. You've set up the demo for a period sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. What's going on in this discovery call?
Yeah. So in the discovery call, the reps are, number one, they're building some rapport. All right. So, I mean, that's just key right there, is they're building some more rapport with the prospect. And actually not more, this is the initial call with the AE and the prospect. So this is really them introducing themselves. And they're just learning more about the contact as well. So they're learning around, you know, what exactly makes this contact tick. So they're asking questions like, you know, so as far as your process goes, how did you get into vendor management? How did that become your department or your area of what you handle? And, you know, what do you think? I mean, what do you think about the new rules set down by the FDIC that came out last month? I mean, just talking shop, really. And then digging into the questions that were asked at the AWOF call and the answers that were given. So you told me that you guys had 25 critical vendors. Tell me, I mean, that's quite a lot of critical vendors. How many actual vendors do you have? Questions like that, just kind of structuring that and digging out more of those pain points that they think they're having. And then what they're doing with that is taking that information to the next step, which I don't want to jump ahead if that was going to be your next question, but which is, hey, so what do you do on the demo? Well, you take the information from the AWOF and the discovery and you tailor that demo to hit home and drive home the services and the pieces of the software that fix those problems.
Yeah. What do you see generally? There's AWAF, let's call it, break it up, AWAF call, the RWA fit call, discovery demo. You know, the most common mistake on the AWAF calls, common mistake, discovery, common mistake, demo. That you keep having to fix people with. Or
that's okay, so the most common mistake that I probably see is not taking the answers that they're given and digging just a one step deeper. Okay, so you know, you can write out a script for anything and everything. Okay, you can do that, whatever. But it takes somebody who's a little bit more intuitive to really kind of take that and own it and glean more stuff out of people when you're just getting. So for instance, let's say you're asking questions to somebody on an RWA fit call and all you're getting are yes and no answers. Yep. Are you the person who's in charge of the vendor management? Yep. Okay. Next question. You know, you get the reps that go, okay, next question. And it's like, well, when I hear answers like that, I want to dig a little bit more and just ask, you know, one more question around that. Like, okay, great. So you handle it. So does that mean that there's a team involved that you report up to that determines how you guys, you know, figure out your process, or just to try to validate what I heard and make sure that I'm getting the correct thing. So I feel like a lot of times reps will follow the script, follow the process, and not dig deep enough when they're not getting really the answer they're trying to get. Does that make sense? I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, but I feel like there's a piece where as a manager, I have to train my reps to try to dig a little bit more, because we're gathering information here to try to help the sales rep turn this into a deal and get it closed. And if we're not getting enough information for them, then we're really not doing that justice. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. It does. Right. I say, you know, scripts and templates can be great to train people, but then at some point they have to let those go and not be dependent on them and be able to think for themselves.
Right. Yeah. I tell my reps, look, the scripts are a blueprint. Okay. Until you can actually say this on your own, don't deviate from it. But I want you to use your intuition, use your common sense that's going on up here. When you hear an answer that doesn't sound right, ask them a question to verify. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can deviate from the script all you want, but the script is really a blueprint for you to follow to help guide you through the call.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're just having a conversation with somebody.
Exactly right. At the end of the day, you're just having a conversation. You just want to have fun.
Hmm. Cool. So what are some common challenges on discovery calls that you've seen? Those are the AWAFs, or is that across
the board?
Honestly, that's across the board. It's completely across the board. I hear that a lot, even in demos. You know, a rep will take what they hear from an Are We a Fit call from a discovery call, and going back to the discovery call, a rep won't ask enough questions to help them be able to formulate that demo to really key in on certain pain points. So then it's just a demo on everything VendMinder does. So the same thing goes with demos. You know, if you're presenting on something that you think is a pain point and they go, yeah, you know, honestly, we feel like we kind of got that covered. Shut up, quit talking about it, move on. Or verify what you thought you heard before, which was, you know, hey, that brings up a good question then. I heard before you were talking about this, so I kind of figured this was something you guys might have been having a problem with. Correct me if I'm wrong, but how do you guys address that? You know, so it's listening, man. Sounds like listening.
I had a question switching directions a little bit because I think we're starting to run short on time. So you've hired a lot of new people and inherited some others. What are the things that, you know, clues that they strike you where like, okay, this person is just not going to work?
Biggest thing is organization. If they're not organized, man, I don't care what tool you get. It could be the tool that all they have to do is come in the morning and hit the button and it does it for them. They're going to screw that up. and I've learned this the very hard way because I'm a sales guy. I started out sales. I'm a sales guy. So when somebody comes in an interview and we're just rapping back and forth and I'm like, man, this person gets it. They get sales. They know how to have a conversation. It's great. They're going to be awesome. And they get in and, you know, they've got, after their first week, they've got three different legal pads over here, five behind the desk. And they're like, hey boss, I can't find these contacts that you told me where they were in Salesforce. And it's like, dude, we created a list view for you. They're right there. Organization, it's a big, big deal. And then the second thing is, and this kind of dovetails off of organization, but that's time management. If you can't manage your time as an SDR, then you get this ADD, OCD thing going on where you can't focus on one thing because you've got too many things going on in your mind that you think you have to handle. And then your day's gone. And you're like, what the heck did I do today? So those are really, really big things. Organization and time management.
Very cool. We got two sort of questions left here. One's a two-part question, but I'm gonna save that.
Really, there's three questions.
Yeah. So, I wanted to say two. Sort of like you're booking the demo.
One meeting, like, that's actually two meetings.
Yeah, just kidding. Yeah. The hand on the doorknob trick. Yeah. While I'm on my way out the door, can I just...
Right.
Take some more questions here. Earlier, when we were talking about your pipeline, you said 60, your guys are in charge of 60, uploading 60 new contacts a day.
Right.
Can you walk me through the life cycle of one of those contacts? So like what happens? So he's on your list using, you know, whatever tools you guys are. Like what are the steps? What are the processes? What are you guys, what's really working for you?
Yeah. So our process is it's we do a 12 by 21 for our outbound. So it's 12 touches in 21 days. And it's spread out between, you know, phone, ghost dials, leaving voicemails, emails, all that kind of jazzy stuff. And what, you know, obviously what we're trying to do, and I know a lot of people out there are still saying, hey, look, you know, the whole refer me bit is over. It doesn't work. I don't care what anybody says. It works. It still works because not a lot of people are doing it. And the reason I think people are saying that it doesn't work is because all they're doing is emailing. And I'll tell you what, if that's all you're going to do, you're cutting out at least 50% of the possible appointments you could set or contacts you could connect with. And you two know, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I'm a big believer in the phone as well.
Yeah, but, us too.
Yeah. And so it just drives me nuts to hear that stuff, because guess what? When you call somebody and you say, hey, I was just, you know, you play like Columbo and act a little lost. Could you direct me in the person who's in charge of da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And guess what? They're going to help you. Most people are willing to help you. They want to help. So what our goal with the beginning of our cadence is not so much to set the are we a fit call, it's to get the referral. And that's where people miss the point. You're trying to get the referral to the right person. You want that internal referral, okay? Because that internal referral is almost better or just as good as a client referral or whatever, because guess what? That person works with that person and you got referred to that. So to me, it's people are missing the point. And so what my reps, I try to coach them on, your job is to, number one, find out as much information you can about that company to make sure they're fit. Number two, get the referral. And then number three, book the appointment with the referral. Okay. So when you frame it that way, they kind of actually, it relieves a little bit of that stress from them of, God, I got to set this many appointments. And it's like, okay, cool. Let's find out, is this company really worth it? Okay, cool. I talked to this person. She said they do this. She said, this is the right person to speak with. Well, I got a referral. Okay, cool. Let me go to the referral. And so, I mean, that's number one. I probably just went off way on a tangent, so I apologize. But that's what we do, and that's what our process is, and what we want to have the outcome be of that. And of course, yeah, there's other things that come after that, but I mean, it's top of the funnel, man. If you don't have it start at the top of funnel, it's not going to get anywhere else either. Mm-hmm.
So just to give everybody an idea, you're sort of sick. You upload 60 new contacts a day. I'm assuming you either email or call them first.
Well, so that's a really good question. So I let my reps create, I give them a standard workflow, cadence, whatever you want to call it, that we've created, that we've seen success from. And that's one that they have to begin working out of. So they've been here a while. I let them create their own cadence and start actually trying out new techniques. Mm-hmm. New sequences, because I want them to use their creativity, man. I mean, I didn't hire them because I think they're lemmings and they should just do exactly what I say when I say it, because I'm the king and I know exactly. Because bullshit, I don't know everything. I don't, you know. And
I thought we'd already established that.
they come up with some really creative stuff, man. I love what they come up with, and so they feel they take some ownership on that too. You know, they really actually take some ownership for that. But it also teaches them how to start tracking and you know, making sure that they're getting the conversions they want to see. And should they scrap that? Should they stop using it? And we go over that stuff too together. But it's really cool. They have so many contacts that I want them to shoot for to load up every day. Mm-hmm. And then it depending on the cadence of the workflow, it's either, you know, it's either a call or it's either an email. And then we track that as well, but just depends.
So just give me like a day in the life of an SDR. So 62 a day. How many calls do you think they're doing every day?
So they're doing anywhere between, I'd say right around 50 to sometimes 100. You know, and it depends on how many people they're actually removing from the workflow at a time as well. Okay, so if they're calling into a company and they've got three contacts that they've been trying to work with in that company, and they actually get a hold of the right person, they either book the meeting or whatever, they need to take out those other two contacts. So that removes two contacts right there. So that's dropping that number. So like I said, it can get anywhere from, you know, like I said, $50 to $100 dials a day. And then sending emails on top of that too. But again, with our dials, because I've talked to, you know, with new reps and they're like, oh my gosh, 100 dials a day. And I'm like, first of all, you don't know what it was like back in the day, kids. But second of all, you know, with the tools you have these days, it's so much simpler to get that done and be effective too. Not just pounding away trying to get through your list, but actually be effective and pay attention to what you're doing. And there are certain steps within that cadence that you don't leave a voicemail. So guess what? You're cutting out time there, okay? Mm-hmm. And then most of the time, we hit zero and go back to the receptionist on our first step, on our first call step. So after that, those secondary and, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth call steps, you don't typically have to hit zero and go back to the receptionist. So that's a lot less time for those further down steps than just that first initial call step.
Why do you hit zero?
Oh, well, because unless you can tell me your data is 100% accurate every single time, then you better hit zero and go back to the receptionist and make sure you got the right person or that you're reaching out to the right person, because you never know. And guess what? There might be two people. And you might be calling into that person, trying to get a hold of a lot of other people until you figure out who that right person is. So the one thing you definitely want to do, and this is a big, big thing, and I missed this earlier too. This is where I think a lot of people miss the mark in training new reps, and this is something I had to learn. You got to teach them to treat those admins and those receptionists like they are just as good, if not better, than the person you're trying to reach out to. Because if you're nice to them, when somebody answers the phone, an admin answers the phone and says, hey, this is Joy. How can I help you? Joy, what's going on? How's your afternoon? You know, you got to be nice to them because they get people that just treat them like crap all day long. I love the gatekeepers because they're, to me, they're fun. I had one gatekeeper one time. She transferred me to 20 executives all in one call. And at the end of that call, she said, man, I'm really helping you out here. I said, you are. And I said, next time I'm in Chicago, we need to get together because I got to buy you a drink. You've been helping me out. And but it was because I was nice to her, you know, and she was like, I'll help you. I'll help you get to the right people. Let's see what we can, hopefully we can get somebody that picks up. I mean, she was rooting for me, you know, but it was because I was nice to her, you know? And so too many times you get prospectors who just make calls and they get bored with their job. They get monotonous. So they sound that way on the phone. They're just like, yeah, hi, it's Jim. And the receptionist is like, well, who is this? You know, they're not nice. Because they know right then and there. That's a telemarketer.
Yeah, be nice to Joy. Come on, guys.
Yep, it works.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the gatekeeper. It can be your best friend.
Totally.
Yep.
So, I think we sort of covered the interim question I was going to ask, which is, you know, some of the you know, advanced tactics that you'd recommend here. So let's jump to the last question, which is, what's one piece of advice that you'd give somebody that's just starting out with a new team?
A couple things. Tracking, number one, how do you track? We kind of covered this a little bit earlier. Do you track scheduled? Do you track executed? Make sure you're tracking the right things to help you coach your team. Yes, executives want their numbers and they want to see their conversion rates and whatnot. Cool, meet their needs. But the main reason you want to do tracking is because you want to help your reps. Because if you help your reps be successful, you're going to be successful. That's the big bottom line deal. The second thing is be a player coach, all right? I can't tell you, the teams, people want to, you want to lead by example, all right? When I started leading by example and started saying, hey, look, let's go make some calls together, okay? You make a call, I make a call. You make a call, I make a call. And when they hear you, especially new reps, when they hear you actually, number one, get hung up on or get struck out, you know, or actually set up a meeting, they go, wow, that was pretty easy, you know, or dang, that person got hung up on too. The boss got hung up on too. and not being afraid of that, getting on the next call and being just as nice to join number two as you were to join number one who just hung up on you, you know? So it being a player coach is such a big deal to me. I've always, this is maybe just my own personal opinion, but I've always respected the people who were in my leadership roles, who have gotten in the trenches and shown me how they do it. Because that's where I learn the most, you know? Mm-hmm. So those would be two of the big things for me.
Right on. I think that's awesome. And that's a great spot to end. So Ryan, want to thank you for coming on the show today. This has been a fantastic opportunity to learn from you and some of the tactics you've picked up on the front lines.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me, man. It's always fun talking shop with you too.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
And we'll see you on stage at Sastr in February.
Woohoo!
All right.
Wait. After rock. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Bye.